The Canvas Board will meet tomorrow to certify the results of last week's municipal election here in Juneau. On Friday, officials counted nearly 1,400 absentee and question ballots, adding to the 6,090 ballots that were counted on election night. Carlton Smith won the only race that was still in doubt, edging Lauren Jones for an area-wide seat on the CBJ Assembly. Smith had a 53-vote lead heading into Friday and finished 74 votes ahead once the absentee and question ballots had been counted. The final tally in the three-way race was Smith with 2,777 votes, Jones 2,703, and Jenny Del Rosario 946. Smith, Jesse Keel, and Randy Wanamaker are set to be sworn in at the Assembly's next regular meeting a week from today. Mayor Bruce Botello says committee assignments and selection of the deputy mayor will be made at that time. He says an Assembly retreat is scheduled for the next night, October 18th.
We'll have updates on the major issues facing the city. We'll obviously be talking in no small part about the budget. We will also identify our goals for the year.
Botello also expects the timeline for hiring a new city manager to be a topic at the retreat. Current manager Rod Swob has said he plans to retire next year. Smith says he's ready to get to work. The commercial real estate broker says he has a lot to offer to an assembly facing some big questions.
I like to bring some of the management skills that I have. Negotiating skills that I have while the assembly is not really in that role, an understanding of negotiation and getting things done in a timely fashion, that's what I'd like to bring to the assembly.
Elections officials will count write-in votes for school board today. Former member Sean O'Brien ran a write-in campaign after board president Sally Sadler was the only candidate to file for two open seats. Voter turnout increased to 30.8% with the inclusion of absentee and question ballots. Turnout on Election Day was just about 25%. The CBJ Assembly meets tonight as the Committee of the Whole, and it will be the last meeting chaired by Deputy Mayor Merrill Sanford, who is nearing the end of his third consecutive term on the Assembly. Because of term limits, Sanford will leave the panel next week when the new members are sworn in. On the agenda for tonight's meeting is a presentation from the Alaska Department of Transportation on the new Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan. City Engineering Director Rory Watt will also be on hand for ongoing discussion of the AJ Mine issue. Watt will also give an update on the outreach he's doing as part of a study of the city's water supply. The old mine, which the city and borough partially owns, is located in Last Chance Basin, Juneau's main source of drinking water. The Committee of the Whole meets tonight at 6 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers at City Hall. The Lieutenant Governor has received a petition application with at least the required 100 signatures for a ballot question that would put a new coastal management program back before the legislature or the public next year. Dave Donaldson has more.
Plans for a renewed coastal management program are before the Parnell administration, the first stop on a path that could end up on next fall's ballot. The legislature this year refused a bill preventing the closure of what was seen as a greatly weakened program designed to coordinate federal and state governmental agencies in coastal development projects. However, coastal management supporters are now hoping to get more than 25,000 signatures on their ballot initiative before the start of next year's legislative session on January 17th. The legislature would then have the option of doing nothing, allowing the question to go before voters, or passing a similar bill of its own. The Lieutenant Governor now has 60 days, during which time the Department of Law must determine whether the initiative meets constitutional requirements. At that time, supporters may begin gathering petition signatures. Those who have seen the proposed initiative say it would reinstate the program within the Department of Commerce and would give the agency all the powers it had prior to 2003, when Governor Frank Murkowski made administrative changes to its authority. As a spur for the initiative supporters, the Department of Environmental Conservation Friday gave public notice of amendments and repeals of regulations dealing with the now-closed coastal management program. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.
Alaska's U.S. senators are part of a congressional effort to stop the Postal Service from closing branches in rural areas. Libby Casey reports on the Protecting Rural Post Offices bill.
When the U.S. Postal Service announced in July that it was considering closing down 3,700 branches, three dozen of them were in Alaska, most of them in rural communities. Alaska's delegation pushed back, and postal officials ended up taking all but five of them off the list. Even though most of Alaska's rural communities will keep their post offices for now, Senators Mark Begich and Lisa Murkowski say there should be rules governing which post offices the USPS can target for closure. They're part of a bipartisan group that introduced legislation Thursday to prevent the Postal Service from closing any locations that would leave the nearest branch more than 10 miles away, and that's on roads with year-round access. Senator Begich said in a written statement that there's no replacement for the post office in rural Alaska because it serves as a community center where locals get medicine, groceries, and vital equipment. Senator Murkowski pointed out that Alaska is, in her words, extremely limited in surface transportation during extreme winters, making 10 miles seem much farther in feet of snow and minimal visibility. There's still heated debate over one of the Alaskan branches on the possible closure list on Douglas Island, across the water from downtown Juneau. But otherwise, Alaska's rural communities were spared this time. The Alaska senators say this bill would prevent the post office from targeting them again. And even though Alaska fared well, they're standing in solidarity with rural colleagues. Other bill sponsors include senators from Montana and Kansas and Oregon, where 80% of the post offices on the potential closure list are more than 10 miles from the nearest branch, according to that state's delegation. The U.S. Postal Service is facing a grave financial crisis. It's afraid of defaulting on payments required to pre-fund its workers' future retirements and warned that it's looking at more than $8 billion in losses. Among the items that members of Congress are proposing to cut is funding for the bypass mail system, which subsidizes shipments to rural Alaska. Republican Representative Daryl Issa of California wants Alaska to reimburse the Postal Service for it, and the USPS says it costs at least $70 million a year. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
The price of Alaska North Slope crude for a West Coast delivery rose 39 cents on Friday. It starts trading this morning at $107.63 a barrel. Gold up this morning, currently at $1,666.30 an ounce. Silver is also up about a buck, currently at $32.20 an ounce. An injury-plagued football season is over for Thunder Mountain High School. The Falcons lost their opening round playoff game to Homer Friday night, 46-6 in front of a home crowd. It was the first time Thunder Mountain had hosted a playoff game. Unfortunately, it came against the Mariners, who earlier this season trounced the Falcons 84-20. The score was a little closer this time, but the result was still the same. Thunder Mountain's only touchdown came in the second quarter when quarterback Camden Thomas hit Ben Yon for a 15-yard scoring strike. A two-point conversion attempt failed. Homer running back Dylan Day had three touchdowns for the Mariners, who will take on Kenai next Saturday in the inaugural championship game for the newly formed medium school division. Meanwhile, the Juneau Douglas Crimson Bears football team narrowly won a defensive battle in their first playoff game on Saturday, edging the East Anchorage Thunderbirds 7-6 at Adair Kennedy Field. With All-State senior starting quarterback Philip Famunumiai sidelined with a leg injury, the Bears were forced to turn to freshman backup Brady Mallinger. Head coach Rich Soros kept the offense simple for Mallinger, sticking to the ground for most of the game. The Crimson Bears' only touchdown came on a 2-yard run by LaFafita in the first quarter. Adam Soto kicked what would prove to be the decisive extra point. The Crimson Bears take on top-ranked Service next Saturday in the semifinals of the state's large school division. The undefeated Cougars got a scare from the Palmer Moose in their opening round playoff game on Saturday. Service needed a late touchdown run from quarterback Amu Acasestino and a game-clinching interception from Alan Busey to squeak past Palmer 34-20. South Anchorage will take on West in the other semifinal matchup.